or it's Sunday morning. Today's daf is about the base. It actually was about on the base. Just quickly, it's actually the last. It's just 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines up on the bottom on the base. We might as well just do Lamed Vav again. But the reason I'm saying this is because the bulk of today's daf is going to be spent on a statement of Ayo, and we should just spend just a few moments just looking at that again. So if you remember again, just reorient ourselves a little bit. The Mishnah's topic is one of Breira, the idea of retroactive clarification. How essentially I go ahead and I recognize that there are circumstances now that are not yet clarified. But essentially what I want to do is, when the clarity occurs, I want the present clarity, which in this case will occur on Shabbos, to retroactively clarify my actions on Erev Shabbos, and make it as if the reality now was in fact present previously at the start of Shabbos. So for example, again in the Mishnah's case, there are two great shiurim happening on Shabbos, two Talmidei Chachamim coming to town, assuming we're not referring to the idea that we're not running away from the rabbi, but we're running towards the rabbi, as we saw in yesterday's daf. Right? So now, two great shiurim happening, I don't know where I'm going to want to go, or my Rebbe and my friend, I don't know who I'm going to want to see, so essentially I create two Eruvim. And Lemaisa, what I say is, when I decide on Shabbos which way I'm going, Breira, that should retroactively clarify that was the Erev I made on Erev Shabbos. So the Gemara wanted to suggest that Lemaisa, the case of the Mishnah, is there's no Breira. Why? Because in fact, already on Erev Shabbos, before the Erev was made, the Tam Tochum had already arrived, meaning the direction was already clarified. It's just, I did not know. That's not called Breira. Breira is where the circumstances are not yet known, only become known later on, and then retroactively clarifies my circumstances from the beginning. So now the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Rav says, Leisa lemas nisin, meditani ayo. So Rav says that our Mishnah is not in conformance with the way that Ayo understood this discussion. The Tani Ayo, because Ayo said, Rabbi Huda says, in adam masna al shnei dvarim ke'echad. There, according to Ayo, Rabbi Huda holds, and I will say, remember, Ayo has a different version of Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda in our Mishnah holds of Breira, right? Rabbi Huda in our Mishnah allows, ultimately, to go ahead and retroactively clarify circumstances. In Ayo's version, Rabbi Huda does not hold of Breira. He says, "Ein adam masna shnei dvarim ke'echad." A person cannot stipulate regarding two things simultaneously. El im kein ba chacham lemizrach eruv lemizrach. Rather, the only way it works is if the chacham came from the east, then his eruv is in the east. Ve'im ba chacham lemarav. Eruv lemarav, and if the chacham came from the west, his eruv is from the west. Aval lekan ulekan lo, right? But no, you can't. But you can't if you don't know where the talmid chacham is coming from. Then you can't go ahead and stipulate that wherever it turns out that the chacham comes from, then lemaisa that's the eruv. Why? No, because remember, you only get an eruv in one direction. You cannot make Erev in right, that would be the easiest solution. Make an Erev in every direction. That's the only way. The way that Chazal structured Erev is, you could only extend your Tchum in one direction. And I'll take even a step further. What you lose in one direction, what you gain in one direction, you lose in the other. So for example, this is an important point to clarify, I will say, if you don't make an Erev Chazeros, an Erev Tchumin, excuse me, see, so a person doesn't make an Erev. So what do I have on Shabbos? I actually have Alpayim Amos, 2,000 Amos, but where? In every direction. So meaning, I don't have to choose what direction. I have 2,000 amos wherever I want to go. Once you make an Eruv, what that does is, it focuses your scope of mobility in one direction. So now, Baruch Hashem, let's say I made my Eruv to the east. So now I have 4,000 amos to the east, but I've got nothing. When I say nothing, I don't literally mean nothing. You still have mobility, right? You can still walk in within your city, but the point is you don't have any extension of your tchum in any other direction. So in reality, in this case over here, yeah, you're choosing a direction. So Ayo says, why can't you do this? They ain't Breira. Because Ayo says, Rabbi Yehuda rejects the notion of Breira. Again, Rabbi Osai, I know you did this in yesterday's daf, so I'm not going to belabor the point, but if I was going to belabor it, I would tell you that the whole yisod of Breira is that their circumstances are not clear now. The reality, I mean, it's not just the pshat that it's not clear now. Certain things are not yet known. So what Breira says is, when they become known, when they become known, I could take that present knowledge and apply it to create a retroactive reality. So therefore, so Ayo says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, I don't know where the Chacham is coming from. On Shabbos, I'm going to find out he's coming from the east. Okay, so Breira will say that retroactively on Erev Shabbos, really my Erev was to the east. And Ayo says, Rabbi Yehuda rejects that. Rabbi Yehuda does not hold the Breira. So the Gemara says, but one second. The Mizrach ulamarav nami ain Breira. So I don't know what that means. It's just, why is that any different than in the case if you say to the east or to the west, that also employs Breira? Rabbi Yochanan, Ukvar Ba'chacham. So Rabbi Yochanan says no, because that case was talking about where the Chacham had actually already come, not already arrived, but the direction of the Chacham was already known before Shabbos. It's just that what?
I didn't know.
So Rabbi said, remember, if I don't know something, that's fine, meaning the reality is still there. What Breira means is, the reality is not yet known. The circumstances are not known. In this case, the Gemara is suggesting is, no, the direction that the Chacham was coming was already known. It just wasn't known to me. So in that case, then, what I say is, listen, whatever direction the Chacham is coming from, that's where the Erev should be. That's not called Breira. That's just called, I don't know. I don't know which direction it's coming from. And therefore, it's, and therefore that Erev works. So the Gemara says, Adrabba, lesa l'dayim umas nisin. So the Gemara says, but one second. Why do we assume that Ayo's version of Rabbi Yehuda is correct? Why don't we go ahead and subscribe to the Mishnah's version? Because what's it? Now what we have essentially is a machlokis between Ayo and the Mishnah in terms of how to understand Rabbi Yehuda, right? So Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah says that there is Breira. Ayo says that there's no Breira. So why isn't Ayo simply rejected in the face of the Mishnah? To which the Gemara says something very interesting. The Gemara says, Lo to which the Gemara says, because there's another source to support Ayo's version that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of Breira. Why? This Tanabo says this interesting case. If somebody purchases wine from Kusim, remember, so we've spoken about the Kusim before. The Kusim were this group of individuals who were relocated to Eretz Yisrael by Shalmaneser Melech Ashur, the Assyrian king. And the Kusim were not Jews. Kusim were not Jews, but they were rampant idolaters. There was an outbreak of lions in Eretz Yisrael, which is rare because there aren't really lions in Eretz Yisrael. There's an outbreak of lions in Eretz Yisrael, and the Kusim were religious people, just idolatrous religious people, realized this was a sign of God, and they converted. But their conversion was always suspect because they were found to be worshipping idolatry later on as well. So the Kusim are dealt with in an interesting way in Halacha. There's always the doubt as to what exactly their status is. So let's say you purchase wine from Kusim. Rabbi Yosef Rashi points out over here something very interesting. Last Rashi on the Daf, Halakeh Chaim Ben HaKusim, Kodem Shegazru Al Yeinam. Now remember, this is before Chazal made the Takana about purchasing wine from non-Jews, or we call Stam Yeinam. So this is before that, because now you wouldn't be able to purchase wine from Kusim. But before Chazal made that takana that you can't purchase wine from Kusim, let's say someone did. So can't be in a Kusim, type of Lamed Zayin. Omer. Now we'll say the assumption is that if you're purchasing wine from a Kusim, that it has not been tithed. Therefore, what do you have to do? You have to tithe it. So what do you do? Omer. Shnei Lugin She'ani Asad Lahafrish Harein Shumis. So we'll say the assumption over here is that Lemaisa, Rashi says over here, I don't have Kalim. I don't have utensils with which to separate out the tithes. So now, I purchased a barrel of wine. I want to drink my wine. But I have to separate out Shumas and Maestros. But I don't have the utensils. When I say utensils, not that there are specialized utensils separating Shumas and Maestros. What does it mean? I don't have another cup. Right? I don't have another jug. I don't have another barrel. So now, I want to drink, but I don't... I want to drink. It's been a long weekend. Right? So now, again, I don't have the kelim to go ahead and separate out the Shumas and Maestros. So what do? So the Gemara says, very simple. Omer Shnei Lugin Shani Asid LaHafrish Harein Truma. So assuming, let's say we're talking about, let's say there's 100 Lug. So the two Lugim that I'm going to ultimately separate later on, those will be Truma. Am I actively separating anything? No. What I'm doing is I'm making a verbal designation. And what I'm saying is, I'm setting aside within this barrel, 2 Lugim for Truma. Asara 10 Lugin for Maestro Rishon. Tisha Maestro Sheni. 9 Lugin for Maestro Sheni. Umechal. Mecha literally means one thing I can do immediately is I could redeem the Maestro Sheni in the barrel on a coin. Because remember, it was like Maestro Sheni could be, you could transfer Maestro Sheni sanctity from produce to coinage, to actual money. So that's the one thing I can do immediately. I could redeem my Maestro Sheni, transfer the sanctity on the coin. B'sho Semiyat. And now again, I could drink immediately. Now, Rabbi said the chiddush of this, of course, is what? Number one, I haven't actually separated anything, maybe except for my Ezer Sheni. But nevertheless, what? I can still go in and immediately drink the wine. Divrei Rabbi Meir, these are the words of Rabbi Meir. The Rabbi will say, why is that? Why is that? The pashtos, what that's going to rely on is Brera. Because what that's going to say is later on, now, I remember, I haven't actively, all I've said is, 2 log for this, 9 log for that, and I've said that I'm going to separate out all of my shrubas and maestros. But I've not actively separated anything. Which means what's going to happen? Later on, when I'm able to separate it, what does it turn out? It turns out that the 2 log that I separated out for truma, it's retroactively clarified that the 2 log I'm separating now, that was the 2 log I originally separated at the time of my declaration. Because remember, at the time of my declaration, I didn't actively set aside anything. It's only when I actively set it aside later on, it becomes retroactively clarified that these 2 log were the 2 logim I was referring to at the time of the declaration. Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Osrim, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon say, it's also you can't do this. Rashi says, why? Rashi says, Osrim, Kasaka daitra hashta, the ta'amayu mishum te kasovri ein breira. Rabbi say, the pashtos, the reason we assume that Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon say, you can't do this is why? Because they reject the notion of breira. They reject the notion of retroactive clarification. And therefore, according to them, if you're going to separate out Shumas and Maestros for it to be effective, what do you have to do? You have to separate out Shumas and Maestros. To make a verbal declaration, that, bless you, that's only going to be retroactively clarified through your actions later on, they reject that idea. So, what do you see over here? You see that Rabbi Yehuda rejects the notion of Breira. So, now we see that it's not just Io's version of Rabbi Yehuda that has him rejecting Breira, but now we have another Breisa that has him rejecting Breira as well. Obviously, standing in contradiction to our Mishnah. So, the Gemara goes back to Ula Omar. Ula Amar Leisa La Ayum Mimas Nisim. So Ula says that Lamaisa Ula, excuse me, Ula Amar Leisa La Ayum Mimas Nisim. So what does Ayo do with our Mishnah? Right? Meaning I understand Ayo have a different version, but our Mishnah does record Rabbi Huda as saying Lamaisa that there is Breira. The Elaha Diktani, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Osrim. So what about the fact? What does our Mishnah do with the fact that you have Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon saying that it's awesome and therefore Breira is not good? You know, I'll say, let's flip the question. So you want to tell me that the Mishnah is authoritative, that's fine, but what does the Mishnah do with this Breisa over here? The Gemara says, Ula, Zuzi, Zuzi, Katani. Ula has this Breisa, but in his Breisa, Zuzi. Now Rashi says, Zuzi actually should be written as Zugi. Zugi, Zugi. Ula has it. Ula has it. Sounds like a kid's cereal. Right? Ula has it as different pairs. Meaning he has a different version of the Braisa. So how does Ula have it? Ula zuzi zuzi zugi zugi katani. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Huda. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shimon Osrin. Son Ula's version, Rabbi Osai. It's Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda who allow for the separating of Trumas and Maestros from this Kusian wine, which means that according to this version, Rabbi Huda actually gives it to Rabbi Meir and does support the notion of Breira, which would then make him in conformance with Rabbi Huda in the Mishnah as well. So, Steve, open that window a little bit. V'savar Rabbi Yossi, ein Breira. Now, we'll say, so now what we've done is, so now remember, we're a little bit stuck. Thank you. We're a little bit stuck with Rabbi Huda. So now what we have over here is Rabbi Huda in our Mishnah accepts Breira. Ayo's version of Rabbi Huda, as well as Ayo's understanding of the Breisa with the wine of the Kusim, has Rabbi Huda rejecting Breira. Ula's version of the Breisa with the wine has Rabbi Huda accepting Breira. So now we're at a little bit of an impasse with what is the Shita of Rabbi Huda. So now the Gemara stops Rabbi Huda for just a moment and says, well, 1 second, Rabbi Yossi, B'sav Rabbi Yossi in Breira, now also remember, according to this version also in this last Breisa, Rabbi Yossi is rejecting Breira. Right? Because remember, Rabbi Yossi is not allowing you to just simply verbally designate Shumas and Maestros from the Kusi wine and only retroactively clarify your Dibur with an action later on. So the Gemara says, is that true that Rabbi Yossi rejects Breira? Listen to this. Rosa is amazing. It's actually from yesterday's Parsha. Amazing. V'hatana Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, Omer, Rabbi Yossi Omer Shtei Nashim Shalokhu Eskinehem Be'eruv. So we'll say, we saw yesterday that after a woman gives birth, so there are karbanos that she has to bring. Right, what we call, you know, literally, she brings pigeons, right, or either pigeons or turtle doves as her carbon. So what happens? If two women go ahead and bring, kinehem literally means their nests, which means that each woman has to bring two birds as their carbon. So let's say two women go ahead and jointly purchase four birds between them. They buy four birds together. And what happened? Or they give the four birds the kohen. Remember, two of these birds, one of them is for an ola, one of them is for a chatos. So what happens? Let's say the maisa now, these two women come along, and they purchase the two birds. They purchase the four birds collectively, but neither of them what? Neither of them goes ahead and says, this is mine and this is yours. And furthermore, again, even in the two that belong to each of them, no one says, this one is the ola, this is the chatos. Rather, two women come to the kohen and they give the kohen four birds. So what is the halacha? The halacha is, the kohen goes ahead and decides which one is an ola, which one is a chatas, and by the way, the kohen also decides, you know, which one is for Rachel, which one is for Leah. So we'll say, what is that? What is that? That lemaisa is breira. That would at least appear to be breira. That lemaisa, the kohen is now, again, when the women give the birds to the kohen, they're not making any declaration, but it turns out that retroactively it was clarified that this one was Rachel's chatas, this one was Rachel's ola, this one was Leah's chatas, this one was Leah's ola. Amarabba, no. Hasab kishahisnu. What's the case there? The case is where they stipulated. Rashi says kishahisnu hanushim beinehem shekomi sheyakriv hakoin l'shma yehei shala. You know what the case of here Rabbi says is where they give it to the kohen and they essentially say to the kohen, you decide. We give you full rishus to decide which bird is for who and which bird is for what. Which one goes for Rachel? Which one goes for Leah? Which one is the chadat? So we'll say, what is that? That's not called breira. Right, that's not called breira. What they're doing is they are ceding decision-making abilities to the kohen. Here are the birds, four of us, each of us need to, you decide who gets what. So the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, ihachi ma'il memra. So, okay, so what's the chiddush in that? Meaning there's nothing wrong with ceding the decision-making right to the kohen. But it's not breira, so what's the chiddush over here of the braisa? So the Gemara says, Kamash malon kidrav chista. The braisa comes to teach us that the halacha follows Rav Chista. What does Rav Chista say? The Amar Rav Chista, Ein hakinen misparshos. Literally, look at Rashi. Ein hakinen shekol shalkol mechustari kapara. The designation of any particular nest, and that's what a kina literally means. The designation of a particular nest, meaning the designation of an animal as the for the birds, for a chatas and for a ola, only takes place ella I belikichas bailim I baasias kohen. This was a very interesting halacha. Rav Chista says that there are only two possibilities for designating karbanos, either at the time when the owners purchase it. Right, so again, if you're going to designate an animal for a particular carbon, it either has to be designated at the time of the purchase, and if the owners don't exercise the right of designation at the time of the purchase, then the only other time it could be done is when the kohen itself makes that decision at the time of the hakrava. So all the Gemara is saying over here is that Bryce is coming to highlight this position of Rav Chista, that essentially in this particular case of the bird offerings, there are two points in time where clarification could occur. Either at the time of purchase or at the time of offering by the kohen. Therefore, if owners did not exercise, women, you did not exercise your right of clarification at the time when you purchased the bird, you just bought four birds collectively between the two, it's no problem. The next point of clarification comes when the kohen is ready to be makrav.
Is this
all
okay. Birds or this
will this case about? This case over here is talking about birds.
Oh, not animals.
Correct.
Not animals.
Correct. All right. Meaning if you buy a sheep and you decide later on to go ahead and give it as a carbon, that's absolutely within your right. So the Gemara says, and I will say, if you want to get it, so following up on Hal's point, so take a look at Rashi. Obas, yes, coin. Rashi says, avalim lacham stam, if you bought this bird nest, right, if you bought these four birds, or these two birds for that matter, the achakach kara aleim shame, and then only afterwards, you decide to designate it as an ola or as a chatos, ein hashem chal aleim, it doesn't work. And the yachala koin lishanosan, and the coin could actually change it. So meaning, Rosa, what Rav Chista says is like this, and we'll see, this is Hal's point, this only applies by bird offerings. So now, if the woman bought two birds, one for a chatas, one for an odlah, and she says, when she purchased it, this is a chatas, this is all that works. But if she purchases it without designating it, and later on only decides to designate it, that won't work. The next time you could designate it as a chatas and odlah is when you give it over to the kohen. Why? So the Gemara just dashens is based on a pasuk. The kra darish of chista b'seder yuma. Shav chista dashens the pasuk. The lakcha shnei torim o shnei b'nei yona. Echad li'olah ve'echad lechatos. Because the way the Torah phrases it, how it is, Rabbi Sai, is the lakcha, when she purchases it, she purchases two birds, one for an olah, one for a chatas. What does Rav Chista learn from there? That the designation for chatas or for olah, dafka has to be at shas lekicha. It has to be at the time of the purchase. Uksiv kave koin, va'asa esa koin esa echad chatos, va'echad olah. And by the coin, it says the coin will perform one of them as a chatas and one of them as an ola. Alma ain shame ola v'chatas chalalein elabi lekicha or ba'asiyus. Rav Chista darshens the psukim. So this is why you have to pay attention, even during the kriya of parashas, like even during the double parasha, right? Because look at this, buried in the middle of this is amazing halacha. So we'll say, so what Rav Chista understands is the Torah is going out of its way to teach us that there are two points of potential designation for these bird karbonas, and it's dafka by birds. Dafka by birds. Either at the time when they're purchased, then a woman has the right to designate it as a chatas and an ola, but if she buys it stam, without designation, she no longer has the right to designate it. So again, it doesn't mean it can't be used as a karbon. It's just, what does she have to do under that circumstance? She has to give it to the kohen. And at that moment, she'll have to tell the kohen, listen, here are my two birds. I've missed my window of designation, but you, kohen, still have the ability to make one of them a chatas, make one of them an ola. Kohen, do your job, right? Make one of them a chatas, one of them an ola, and I will discharge my obligation through that. So therefore, the Gemara wants to suggest that this price has nothing to do with Breira, but rather, again, it comes to highlight the position of Rav Chista. Okay, so we'll say, of course, very interesting, doesn't help us one iota, because remember, we're still stuck on Breira. Just remember, keep the train of thought. Remember, we have our problem with Rabbi Yehuda. We don't know what Rabbi Yehuda holds by Breira or not. We have conflicting sources. The Gemara jumped ship from Rabbi Yehuda and went to Rabbi Yossi. Because Rabbi Yossi, from the brisa of the Kusiyim wine, sounded like he rejected the notion of Breira. Now the Gemara wants to show that maybe it's not so poshut. So Gemara says, Va'akati. Va'akati sav Rabbi Yossi in Breira. Is that true that Rabbi Yossi rejects the concept of Breira? Va'atanya, another interesting case. Am ha'aretz sha'amar l'chaver. If an am ha'aretz, an uneducated individual, says to a chaver, now we'll say, a chaver is a tamad chacham. For these purposes, a chaver is someone who's also very meticulous in the laws of tithing his produce. So an am ha'aretz says to his it doesn't mean that he's saying it to his friend. The guy may or may not be his friend. Chaver over here is a designation. It's a title. Someone who's very meticulous with mitzvos. So an am ha'aretz says to a chaver, kach li aguda achas shal yerek. Do me a favor. You're going out to the market. When you pick up for yourself. A bundle of vegetables, pick me one up also. Oh, gluska achas, or you're going to the bakery to buy some bread, buy me some bread also. So the Gemara says, Eino tzarech la'asher, la'aser, devei Rabbi Yossi. So here's the interesting question. The chaver now is going to go ahead and give that produce to the am ha'aretz. So we'll say, listen to this interesting chakira here. Part of what makes a chaver is that no produce ever leaves his hand untithed, which means that when a chaver gives something to someone else, there's a chazoka that he always tithes it first. That's why whenever you get produce from a chaver, you don't have to truma and meister it, it's been tithed. Here's the interesting shaila. When the chaver gives this produce to the am ha'aretz, so there are two ways we can view it, right? So here's the issue. The chaver went ahead and picked up two bundles of vegetables, right? Let's assume right now he was buying Do you buy a bundle of cucumbers? Sure. Or do you buy a bundle of
leeks?
Leeks work.
Leeks.
Celery.
Okay.
Bunch.
Okay. you buy cucumbers. Let's keep it easy. You buy turnips. Okay, turnips. Turnips. Okay, good. Right, fenugreek. That's always a cloud pleaser. All right. So now I just like saying that. So now, listen to this. So the chaver goes vegetable shopping. And what happens? He knows that he's buying for himself, and he knows that he's buying for the am ha'aretz. So I will say, here's what's interesting. So now he takes out, let's say he buys six cucumbers, he gives three of those to the am ha'aretz. So The shaila is, what is the status of those three cucumbers? There are two ways to look at it, and it depends if you employ brera or not. If you say ain brera, then reality, all of that was the chachamim's. What was the chavers? Right? Because again, it's not the pshat that the chavers said, you know, when he was at the vegetable market, you know, one for Amma Oretz, one for me, one for Amma Oretz, one for me. What did he do? He picked up six cucumbers, and he didn't know which were going to be his, which were not going to be his. So they're all considered his. He picks it up because he hasn't decided. Then afterwards, he decides what he's taking for himself, and he's going to decide what he's giving over to the Amma Oretz. And if you look at it that way, the Rambam say what? Then it's all considered his produce. If it's all considered his produce, then when he gives it over to the chaver, it's like he's engaging the transaction with the chaver. And therefore, what would he have to do? He would have to tithe them before giving it to the chaver. Because again, remember, that would be like his produce that he's giving over to the Amma Oretz. On the other hand, if you say Breira, if you say that you could rely on retroactive clarification, then what? Then when he separates out the three cucumbers for the Amma Oretz, what do we say halachically? It's as if those three cucumbers were set aside from the Amma Oretz from the beginning, right? And therefore what? Were never even really the possession of the Amma of the Chaver to begin with. And therefore what? It's as if, again, I was acting as your shaliach to begin with the whole time, and therefore I have no obligation of tithing regarding this produce, because this produce was yours the entire time. So now look at the Gemara. So the Gemara says, so Rabbi Yossi holds that the chaver need not tithe the produce before giving it to the Amma Oretz. So we'll say, what does that show you? Yesh Breira. So we see from here that we rely on the kinds of retroactive clarification. So retroactively, it turns out that the three cucumbers I'm giving to the Amma Oretz were the three cucumbers that I selected the entire time for the Amma Oretz that were never truly mine. Because they're never truly mine, I don't have an obligation to tithe them. They belong to the Amma Oretz. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, Amma Oretz Shamar L'Chaber, Sheyachaber Holik L'Shuk. So the chaver was going to the marketplace, likach lo yarak liatzmo, to purchase produce for himself. Va'amar lo Amma Oretz, kach gam li agudas yarech. Ein tzor chaver la'aser d'may me'osa shenas la Amma Oretz. Af api shalokach shlov shal la Amma Oretz stam. V'lo pirish kishnan zeli v'zel Amma Oretz. V'u ma'aras lakchon. Yesh breira. Kishenosno la Amma Oretz, shezulu tzor cholokcha ve'ein chaver zem mochalos. You both said the problem is that if we look at it that all the produce belong to the chaver, then to a certain degree we view it as if the chaver is engaging in a transaction when he gives that over to the Amma Oretz. If the chaver is transacting with produce, that means the produce was his. If the produce was his, he has an obligation to tithe it before giving it over to the Amma Oretz. But why is this important for us? Because Rabbi Yossi is on record as saying what? Rabbi Yossi is on saying the record as the chaver need not tithe the produce, which is therefore means Rabbi Yossi subscribes to the notion of Breira. The chacham say, Tzarech la'aser. And the chacham say, no, you have to go ahead and tithe it, which means what? Look at Rashi. The chacham omrim ein tzarech la'aser, de'ein Breira. Right? So therefore, Rabbi Yossi and the chacham say, Dvar Breira. So now we have a contradiction, because the Braisa by the Kusian wine said that Rabbi Yossi rejects Breira. And here the Braisa says that Rabbi Yossi agrees to Breira, to which the Gemara gives a very simple answer, Eifuch. Eifuch means what? Switch it around. It's the wrong order. It must be that the Chachamim hold Ein Tzarech La'aser, because the Chachamim hold Yesh Breira, and Rabbi Yossi holds Tzarech La'aser, because he holds Ein Breira. And therefore that would put Rabbi Yossi's sheet over here in conformance or with Rabbi Yossi's sheet earlier. Tashma. So the Gemara brings another case. Ha'omer Meiser Sheishli Babesi Mechulo Alsela Shetale Biyodi Minakis. Most another interesting case. So now let's say I have Meiser in my home. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Actually not yet, I'm sorry. So I have Meiser in my home. Alright, so now I want to say that the Meiser I have in my home should become Cholik, Meiser Sheni. I say I have Meiser Sheni in my house, and now what I want to do is I want to redeem the Meiser Sheni onto money. Remember, we'll say, Maaser Sheni is yours. You just have to eat it in Yerushalayim. But one of the interesting things you could do to redeem it is you could transfer the sanctity onto money. That way, people did this because, A, if they were concerned about spoilage, or B, they didn't want to schlep all of their produce to Yerushalayim. So very simple, just transfer the sanctity onto money and take the money to Yerushalayim and go ahead and spend the money in Yerushalayim. But listen to this case. So I have Meister in my house, and here's what I want to do. I want to redeem the Meister on whatever coin is going to come into my hand first from my wallet. Right, so what happens? It's not the pshat, you will say, under normal circumstances. So what you do is you take out a coin, and you see that coin, right? You see that coin, you go ahead. That coin is what I'm going to transfer the sanctity, onto the Meiser Sheni. Now what I'm saying is, I don't have a coin in front of me. But what I am saying is, ultimately, a coin is going to come out of my... I'm going to be taking a coin out of my wallet. Whatever coin comes out of my wallet first, that should be the coin onto which I am transferring the sanctity of the Meiser Sheni. Okay? So does it work? But I will say, so what are we asking essentially over here? What is this a case of?
Brera.
A case of Brera. Because what will turn out then is when I take the coin out of my pocket, it will be retroactively clarified that this was the coin to which I refer. The Shaila is, does it work? Rabbi Yossi Omer, Mechulon. Rabbi Yossi says, it works. Mechulon literally means the Meiser Sheni is redeemed, which is another way of saying that Brera works. Now I'll say, the Gemara doesn't quote it, but the Chachamim say, Eino Mechulon. The Chachamim say, it doesn't work. Suppose we have another price that says what? Another price that says Rabbi Yossi does hold the Brera. So to which the Gemara says, Eifoch. Eifoch, switch it around. Ema Rabbi Yossi Omer lo chilel. So rather switch it around and say, no, Rabbi Yossi is going to hold that it doesn't work because Rabbi Yossi holds that there's no Brera, and the Chacham hold it does work because the Chacham do hold the Brera. So now the Gemara says the following. Gemara says, I don't understand. Chada mikan. So the Gemara says, excuse me, Umay chazis, the afchis tarti mikame chada. Epoch chada mikame tarti. So the says, let me just show you what you just did. We'll say, we have one braisa by the Kusiyan wine that has Rabbi Yehud, that has Rabbi Yossi on record as saying, no brera. We just brought two braisos, right? One by the vegetables, and now a second one over here by the Meiser Sheni, that both are at least stated as Rabbi Yossi saying, there is brera. And the way you answered it was to say, reverse the two braisos. So the Gemara says, I have a better idea. Right? Why don't you reverse the first one? Right? I mean, what the Gemara is saying is, it's okay to say reverse, because Rabbi Yossi, remember, we see this is not just the Gemara taking the easy way out. This is a recognition that in the transmission of the oral tradition, names sometimes get mixed up. So when you see a contradiction, and in two places he says one time, so it's okay to sometimes say that it was recorded wrong in one place. The Gemara says, but come on, why are you reversing two in front of one? Reverse one in front of two. To which the Gemara says, no, I'll tell you why. So the Gemara says, ha vada ipcha. Tanya, ha vada ipcha tanya, diktani seifa, umode Rabbi Yossi, beomer meiser sheyesh besoch beisi, yehe mechulal al sela chadosha, shetale biyodi minakis, shechila. Both said the Gemara said this because, you know, in this last case that we just quoted over here, where a person wants to say that lemaisa, if the coin comes out, whatever coin comes out of my pocket first, that will be the coin that ultimately will be, the Meiser Sheni sanctity will transfer onto that. At the end of that braisa, the braisa says that Rabbi Yossi agrees, but Omer Meiser Sheyesh li b'soch beisi. If a person says that the Meiser that I have in my home, Yehe mechulo asela chadosha shetale biyadi minakis. And he says that the Meiser that I have in my home should be redeemed on the new coin that I have in my purse. Shechila, that works. Midika amar hacha shechila. The fact that Rabbi Yossi says in the end of the Braisa that it works, what does that infer? Michlal dahasam lochila. That we infer from that in what? That in the first case, Rabbi Yossi holds that the redemption does not work. So once I stop there for just a moment, therefore the Gemara essentially says is, in that light, last price, it's clear that the opinions were mixed up. And Rabbi Yossi rejects the notion of Brera in that case. Therefore, I will say, what do you really have? You really have two against one. You have two Brisos so you have the Brisa over here of the Meiser Sheni coin, which tells us that Rabbi Yossi rejects Brera. You have the Kusin wine case that shows Rabbi Yossi rejects Brera. And the only case you have working in your favor, Rabbi Yossi accepts Brera is what? is the case of the chaver and the ama aretz by the vegetables. So now the Gemara says, now you understand why we said epoch, because you have two against one, and in fact what we're doing is we're reversing the one in the face of the two. Fine. So the Gemara says, now the Gemara just spends a moment on this case. So remember, the Brice over here said that Rabbi Yossi agrees that in a case where a person says, the Maaser Sheni that I have in my house should be redeemed on the new coin that I have in my wallet. So even Rabbi Yossi agrees that that works. So the Gemara says, well, what's the case? What's the case that you're referring to? If you tell me that I have two or three new coins in my wallet, then why should that work? That should be Diyesh Brera. Then Rabbo said that still relies on Brera. Why? Because if I have two or three coins in my purse, then what Rabbo said? What don't I know? I still don't know which coin I'm going to ultimately use. So you'd have to rely on Brera in order to say that works. Ela deleka ela chada. Rather, I must see that what's the case? The case is where I only have one new coin. One new coin. So if that's the case, my tala. So we'll say, oh, so what's the chiddush in that? Meaning, the lashon of the braisa is, whichever coin comes out of my wallet, there's only one new coin. So what's the chiddush? I did the tana resha tala, tani seifa nami tala. Also, the Gemara answers, the braisa was just simply trying to use linguistic symmetry. Since in the first case it used the lashon of tala, because it's referring to multiple coins, so in the seifa it used the lashon of tala, whichever one will come out, even though it's only referring to one coin. So we'll say, in that case, that's what Rabbi Yossi agrees that it'll work, but that's not really much of a chiddush. So Rabbi Yossi says that if you say, the Maaser Sheni that I have in my home should be redeemed on the new coin that I have in my wallet, so Rabbi Yossi says, oh, that works. How does that work? Because what's the case? There's one new coin. Okay. So essentially, Rabbi Yossi says, of course it works. Why? Because again, even though I'm not holding that coin in my hand, because there's only one coin that fits that description, no Brera is being employed, and therefore the transfer of sanctity works. Amar le Rava l'Rav Nachman. Rava said to Rav Nachman, Man haitano da'afilu b'drabanon les le Brera. Who is the opinion who holds that even in matters of rabbinic law, we don't go ahead and hold the Brera? Now, I want to say something. Now, we're introducing a new part to this discussion, which is that until now, we have not been mechalik, we have not made any distinction between biblical law and rabbinic law when it comes to Brera. We assume that Brera is a concept, and either you subscribe to the concept or you don't subscribe to the concept. And if you subscribe to the concept, then it's Drabbanan's Doraisa. And if you don't subscribe to it, you reject my vote. So now the Gemara says, well, one second. Who is the opinion who holds that even in a Drabbanan, you don't hold the Brera? This side, listen to this case. Omer l'chamisha, a person says to five people, Hareni ma'ariv al izem ekem she'erza. All right, so we'll say it's an interesting case. I say to five people, I'm going to make an error for one of you. For one of you that I choose. Ratzi si yelech. Lo ratzi si yelech. Lo yelech. And I'm going to choose one of you. And one of you will have the ability, therefore, to extend your tchum. So the Gemara says, Ratza mi ba'odyo, eruv ha'eruv. So as long as I make that decision prior to the onset of Shabbos, so you must remember, I could act as a shaliach on behalf of someone. Right? So as long as I make that decision before Shabbos, it works. Mishecha shecha, ein eruv ha'eruv. But once it's dark, well, I mean, once Shabbos comes, it doesn't work. Rabbi say, what does that show you? What does that show you? That first of all, there's no Brera. And now we're assuming that what the laws of Eruv are Drabanon. Right, so what do you see from here? That even in a Drabanon, there is no concept of Brera. So ishtik velo amrle velo midi. So I'll say, remember, this is Rava asking Rav Nachman, who is the opinion who holds that there's no Brera even by Drabanon. And Rav Nachman didn't know. Velema le tana de be'ayo. Who? So why didn't you say that this is reflective of Ayo? Because remember, Ayo was the one who seemed to reject Brera in totality, even in the Rabbanans. Lo Shmiele, Rav Nachman never heard of the position of Ayo. Okay. Rav Yosef Amar, Tanoi Shakalta Me'alma. So Rav Yosef says, I don't understand, what are you guys talking about? Literally it means, have you removed all of the Tanoim from the world? What Rav Yosef is saying is, this is a fundamental machlokis Tanoim. Tanoi hi. This Sanya, listen to this. Harini ma'ariv l'shabosol shal kol hashana. That was an interesting case, which we'll deal with later on. A person says, I'm making an eruv for all of the shabosos of the year. Right? Meaning I'm putting in place an eruv that's going to follow shabosos. So we'll say, lest you think that this... Well, we'll come to this case in greater detail later. We actually rely on this case for ourselves. A person makes an eruv for all the Shabbos, and I'm supposed to remember, this works, what this will see, the potential for this to work is as long as what? As long as your Eruv food remains in existence. Right, so technically speaking, if you set aside food for an Eruv, and that food endures, then technically speaking, what you're saying is, I'm making an Eruv today, and I want the Eruv to be in effect for all the Shabbosos of the year. Ratzisi Eilech, lo Ratzisi, lo Eilech. So if I want to use the Eruv, I'm going to use the Eruv. If I want to use the Eruv, I don't have to use the Eruv. Ratza mi ba'odyo, Eruv ha'Eruv. As long as you decide on any particular Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, before Shabbos, that you want to use the Eruv, then what? Then the Eruv works. What happens if you only decide on Shabbos that you want to use the Eruv? Then what's the halacha? Rabbi Shimon Omer Eruv Eruv. The Chachamim Omerim Ein Eruv Eruv. So what's Rabbi Shimon holds it works? Chacham say it don't. What are they arguing about? Breira. Rabbi Shimon will say that even on Shabbos, if you decide you want to use the Eruv, then what does that do? That retroactively clarifies that when you originally made the Eruv and said you want to use it on a Shabbos, what Shabbos are you referring to? This Shabbos, as opposed to Chachamim who say, no, you can't use Breira, no retroactive clarification. If you want to use the Eruv, you must decide prior to Shabbos. V'hasham inel Rabbi Shimon de lesle Breira. But one second. But we learned elsewhere that Rabbi Shimon holds that you can't rely on Breira. Right? So we learned earlier, right? Rabbi Shimon is one of the guys, one of the opinions quoted by the Kusian one, Pshat, to which the Gemara says, Kasha de Rabbi Shimon, there's a Kasha, right? Rabbi Shimon is contradicting himself, to which the Gemara says, no, Ella Epoch. The Gemara says, flip it. The Chachamim hold that you can use Breira. Rabbi Shimon holds you can't use Breira. So the Gemara says, I don't understand my Kasha, why do you have to flip it? Dilma, ki lesli the Rabbi Shimon Breira, b'da'oraisa, ava b'dirabbanon lesli. Maybe when does Rabbi Shimon hold the Breira, when doesn't Rabbi Shimon hold the Breira, that's in the case of a Da'oraisa. That's it, like Shumas and Maestros, right? However, B'drabana, like in a case of Eruv, Rabbi Shimon would allow the use of Breira. Kasava Rav Yosef, Rabbi Yosef holds no. Man de Islay Breira, Loshna B'da'oraisa, Loshna B'drabana, Islay. Uman de Leslay Breira, Loshna B'da'oraisa, Loshna Midrabanon Lesley, to which the Gemara says Rav Yosef holds that either you hold of Breira or you don't hold of Breira. And if you hold of Breira, then you hold it in the Oraisas and the Rabbanons. And if you don't hold the Breiras, you don't hold it in. So what Rav Yosef is saying is Breira is one of those concepts that either you agree you agree to its conceptual framework, or you don't agree to its conceptual framework. If you agree to its conceptual framework, then you agree to it in all details. If you don't agree with it, then you reject it. Rava says, no. Shiny Hasav. Now, both say Rava's jumping back for just a moment. Rava's saying that the reason Rabbi Shimon rejects it in the case of Yayin, I remember going back for a second, remember the case of the Kusian Yayin, so I bought a barrel of wine from the Kusians. And what happens? I need to separate out Shumos and Maestros. But what's the problem?
You have to physically do it first.
You don't have the
kaler. I don't have the utensils. I don't have the utensils to do it. So what I want to do, I want to verbally designate the various Shumos and Maestros, and later on, when I separate it out, it's retroactively clarified that what I separate out is what I refer to in my verbal designation. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon was on record as saying that you can't do that. Then I've also said, we assume the reason Rabbi Shimon said you can't do it is because Rabbi Shimon rejects Breira. The difficulty with that, of course, is we just saw Rabbi Shimon saying that there is Breira. So the Gemara wanted to say, so now how do we reconcile those two shittos? So Gemara said, I'll tell you, it's not a kasha. Rabbi Amar Shiny Hasam, the case of the wine is different. Why? Shiny Hasam, the Ba'inon Rashis, Sheshireha Nikarin. So it's very interesting. The Torah by Chumos and Maestros says the following. The Torah says, Reishis degancha v'yitzarecha. So what does it mean, Reishis? Reishis means the beginnings. The beginnings means that when you separate out Chumos and Maestros, shi'areha mikarin, there has to be leftovers that are recognizable. Meaning, in order for a designation of Chumos and Maestros to be effective, there has to be a Truma and Meiser part, and there has to be everything else. If the everything else is not recognizable, then what? Then the designation is not good. Amalei Abaye, but if that's the case, Elamei Ata, using that logic, Elamei Ata, Im Hayu Lefan of Shnei Rimonim, if a person has two pomegranates in front of him, Shel Tevel, and both of them have not been tithed, and Va'amar, and he says, Im Yerdu Gishamim Hayom, if it rains today, Yehei Zeh Truma Al Zeh. then lemaisa, if so, if it rains, he makes a stipulation. If it rains today, then pomegranate A should be truma for pomegranate B. And v'imlo, and if it doesn't rain today, v'imlo yardu gisham hayom, yeheze truma alze, so B should be truma on A. Okay, so whatever, he's just making this type of tonight. So the Gemara says, hachinami, bein yardu, dein bidvar of klu. So are you going to say, the interesting part in this case over here is maybe you'd be tempted to say, based on what we just said, that such a designation should not work. Why? Because Rabbi say, if you're telling me that in order for a truma and ma'isa separation to be valid, what has to happen? Shehe shiareha nikarin. The leftover, meaning essentially, the leftover part has to be recognizable. There has to be a truma part, and there has to be a recognizable leftover part. In this case over here, when you have two rimonim, there's no recognizable leftover part because they both look exactly the same. So maybe you'll tell me that in this case, the particular designation does not work. So the Gemara says, V'chitema ha'chinami v'atnan truma sakri hazeh u'masro v'atnan. But we learned, truma sakri hazeh u'masro sav b'socho u'trumas meiser zeh b'socho Rabbi Shimon Omer kara hashem. So interesting enough for both sides, but yet we learned that if you go ahead and you have a pile of produce, and in the pile of produce you say that the Trumas Meiser is within this pile, Rabbi Shimon says it works. So we'll say, what do you see from here? That Lemaisa, even if you have a pile of produce, and what? You just simply say, the Trumas Meiser is in there, the Meiser is in there, the Truma is in there, even if you don't actively designate it out, it's still good. To which the Gemara says, Shiny Hasam, Di'ika Sevivav. We'll say the difference in that case is what? Is that, remember, what you're saying, you are making a little bit of a targeted statement, because what you're saying is, the truma, the ma'aser, the truma's ma'aser, is within the pile, which ultimately means that you plan on separating out the tithes from where? From within the pile itself. But what do you have? You do have the other surrounding produce, the stuff that's kind of spread around the perimeter, which is clearly based on your statement, is not going to be truma and ma'aser. So using that logic, technically speaking, you do have shishiyareha nikarin. You do have recognizable leftovers, so to speak, that are not going to be trumas and maestras. To which the Gemara says, vipois ema, kidiktani taima. Or maybe there's another reason why Rabbi Shimon doesn't allow you to make these verbal declarations with the kusi and wine. Maybe there's another reason. Maybe it has nothing to do with breira. Maybe, amrulo Rabbi Meir, ia tamoda shema yibaka hanod. Hanod. They said to Rabbi Meir allowed for this verbal designation of the tithes. So I said to Rabbi Meir, I don't say, how do you allow this? Because after all, what could happen, Rabbi Osai? So remember, I have this barrel of wine from the Kusians, and what happens? Now I say, 2 lugin, and I'm going to separate out Meiser, 9 lugin for Trumab. I'm not actively separating out anything. Later on, I'll get to it. So they said to Rabbi Meir, but aren't you concerned that maybe what's going to happen? The barrel will break, all the wine is gone, and that can happen when? Before you have a chance to separate out anything. They're both saying, if that happens, then what effectively has occurred? You have consumed tevel. You have consumed untithed produce, which is a prohibition. So he said to the mayor, are you not concerned with allowing this practice? Because after all, the barrel may break, and you may consume tevel. What does every mayor answer? Amar lahen l'chashi yabaka. So the mayor gives an interesting answer. The mayor says, we'll worry about it when it breaks. Right? What the mayor essentially was saying is, you know, you don't have to be choshesh for that, right? Barrels don't just bust all the time, so we don't have to worry about it. We don't have to assume the barrel is going to break. We're going to assume the barrel is going to remain. Ulamai desalik adaitin de meikara ba'in de ba'inon reishes sheshireha nikaren mai ka'amarlei sa'ai. But the Gemara says, but according to what we just said before, that the real machlokis about the barrel, is the reason why, according to those who say the designation is not good. The reason they say it is because in order for a separation of Trumas and Meiser to be good, it has to be Shira Nikarin. The leftovers have to be clearly visible and distinguished from the tithes. Then why does Rabbi Meir respond, L'shem Yibak Yehanud, to which the Gemara says, Haki Kamalei, this was the discussion. Lidi Don, Ba'inon Reishas Shishira El Nikarin. So essentially you have Rabbi Shimon and everybody else saying to Rabbi Meir, for us, the reason why this practice does not work, a verbal declaration, is because for us, in order for a Truma and Meiser designation to be effective, the Truma and Meiser has to be distinct from everything else. You have to be able to see the leftovers. And obviously, in this case, where everything is together, that criteria is not satisfied. But even according to you, Rabbi Meir, who don't need that, are you not concerned? Rabbi Meir, are you not concerned with the fact? Right, so Rabbi Meir, you don't need this idea. You don't agree with this idea of Shishiyar Nekarin. you don't agree that the leftovers have to be visible. But are you not, even if you don't agree that the leftovers have to be visible, are you not concerned with the possibility that the barrel is going to break? The nimtza shows that the and it turns out that what? That you will end up drinking, you will have end up having consumed untied produce retroactively. To which Rabbi Meir responds, Amalahan l'chishi bakeh. And Rabbi Meir essentially responds, don't worry about it. We'll deal with it when it occurs. And also, just lemaisa, let me end off with one piece of lemaisa that you should recognize. This one piece of lemaisa is the Rambam. We're not going to have time to do it inside. Although, I do want to point out to you that this was quite a dafyomi accomplishment. We started on Lamed Vav Amud Beis, and we ended up on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph in under an hour. So I'm just, I don't want to brag, but I'm just saying. So now, but let me just show you one thing, just so you should know. The Rambam and Hilchos Erevin, this is what you're looking up on your own. Parech Ches Halacha Beis, as well as the Mishnah Brura, or the Shulchan Aruch, I should say, in Simin Tov Yud Gimel, both passing, interestingly enough, that we accept Breira. But we accept Breira in Dirabanans. That it's only even though the Gemara made it like we're not Mechalik between the rest of Dirabanans, Lemaisa, we accept the concept of Yeshua, of retroactive clarification, but only in cases of DNA Dirabanan. The reason I'm telling you this is because this will become important as we go on as well. Shkoyach.
Did someone leave?